The gang is all here. Good. I'm filling in Roop's. I'm not sure what Roop's doing, but he asked me to hop on the call and run it for him today. So I'm happy to do that.
What a sucker.
I know.
Glad to have you, Jay.
Teamwork. We like that, Jay.
Yeah. Roop's a slacker.
By the way, good job last week on the retreat. Real good job facilitating.
Well, good. I'm hoping you guys enjoyed that. So I think that I felt like it was successful. So I'm excited about what we've got going on. You know, between now and the end of the quarter on advanced execution, and then beyond that, what you guys have going on in the business. So for our time this morning, I wanted to specifically make sure we touched on any questions on the January 13 deliverables prior to that meeting. So again, we're about to head into kind of the 2 weeks of holiday, where you guys will probably be pretty busy, both personally, I think probably, and in the business. So want to make sure that we're setting you guys up for success, and you guys have all your questions answered, at least for right now. Then I wanted to check into how you guys are each doing with your practices for Q4. And then if there's any additional kind of open questions that you guys have you tried anything new, you know, insights, you know, you get feeling stuck about something not working, you know, let's just open this up as a dialogue. And so since I can't see you guys, I think probably the best thing to do would be to kind of do this council mode style, to make it, you know, a little bit more, less chaotic. So I'm going to just ask for one of you guys to volunteer to go first.
Hey, Jay, it's Jeremy. I just want to go, you know, quick for the January 13th deliverables. We are all going to have our Q1 2x2s laid out with some objectives, a couple of objectives for each initiative on that departmental 2x2, and really get to a more of a detailed action plan of what we're going to be able to accomplish in the first quarter. We're going to use our initiative success formulas to make sure that we have clear owners, measurable goals, and also make sure that we've created the space to be able to make those objectives successful. So I think that's where, you know, we're going to be working over the next few weeks in the holiday and really engaging our teams to help get these things all laid out. So I think for me, as far as the practice that I've been working on, the weekly focus for me is still a work in progress. I carve the time out, get in and plan out my weeks, I know it has an impact on the way I'm able to unfold the week. And so that's something that I'm glad I picked that as a practice, because it's something that's going to help me going forward. And every time I'm able to accomplish it, I end up feeling more prepared and it seems like I have a more relaxed week. The other thing that, you know, we've been really working on, to me, the main thing for me, and is one of the huge initiatives that I need to accomplish in Q1, is recruiting. And so kind of refocusing my plan on how it happened, doing a lot of game film over the last quarter about, you know, what are the things that kind of led to the outcome that I'm in right now. And when I did that and kind of game film back, I found that, you know, not making an adjustment early enough, or not having enough space created on my calendar, not having a structured plan, really a lot of the things that, you know, just in our initiative success formula were not present. So going forward, the changes that I've made is to really recruit, not as like it's a project that needs to happen right now. Don't recruit because, you know, we need certain people, certain position filled or anything like that, but to really have that as an initiative that has a structured meeting around it, has more attention, and I'm more recruiting for the future and bringing people out of, you know, not in necessity, but, you know, as we look to grow and finding the right people. So I think some of the adjustments that are made are going to help, you know, get us to where we're going, not only through the first quarter, but just looking at that initiative in a different way is going to help the company and certainly help our department.
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of good things. I have a couple of questions for you on weekly focusing. So what are you feeling like in the way there that's keeping you from really engaging something that's working for you?
The biggest thing is allowing myself to get disrupted, because if I say I'm weekly focusing at Friday at 3 p.m., and then something ad hoc comes up Friday at 3 p.m. and allows me to, you know, not put in the actual time and focus that I need, you know. And so, again, if I don't, some of these things that are interrupting me maybe need to be delegated down to, you know, whether Vance could help me out with those, or, you know, whether there are things that really don't need to happen in the moment. That's the thing that kind of disrupts my, you know, and so remember, I changed from my weekly focusing from Sunday nights, where I really wasn't successful because I was, you know, getting disrupted from family things. So I think it's really about finding the time when I can actually have, you know, either time to myself or that I can really hold that commitment to myself.
Can I make a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
One thing to do with weekly focus you may want to do is meet with Jay, set up a time to meet with Jay at Sagan and let him walk you through, practice weekly focuses in front of Jay and do that for a few weeks, maybe, because, you know, he's right there in Uptown. Maybe one morning after you drop Ryder off at school, you shoot down to Sagan before the day starts, get there like 8:30 or whatever, and knock it out. And you do that a few times, you know, 30 minutes, and just having him coach you through the weekly focusing and get the practice in. I think after, you know, a few sessions, you'll get it, and then you just take that time instead of going to Sagan. Maybe you go to a Starbucks or something like that and knock it out before you come in. Because once you get here, it is pretty difficult, but maybe you just knock it out in the morning before. Because that's really the only time you have control over your day is before you get here.
Right. That's a good idea. That sounds like a good idea, Jay. I think I'll get with you and see if we can, you know, nail out a time that would work and get a couple reps in and then, you know, kind of carry it from there. Sound good?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's
really good advice, you know, or good guidance from Steve. I especially like the idea of just like, hey, carving, like, if I'm doing it Monday morning, you know, I don't know if Monday morning is the right time, but literally going off-site, hitting a coffee shop, grabbing a cup of coffee and doing it before you get into the office. Like, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah, I think having to instruct them and, you know, you role-play a little bit with them and coach them through, it's kind of like the golf instructor putting the guy on the tee box and letting him hit and adjusting the swing. I think being able to do weekly focus successfully as opposed to just taking a concept and trying it, you may be able to help him with a little bit more structure and rhythm. And once he gets the structure and rhythm down, then you'll find it becomes really easy. Because I use the structure, I think I was telling you about, with the Darren Hardy stuff. And it's just having that. If I had to just conceptually do it, I'd be all over the map, but he brings it to a pretty tight structure where it's the same thing over and over, and it keeps me focused, so that might be able to help.
Like that.
Yeah. So that's really good. I like that. I think that's very actionable. The other thing that I really like that you pointed out here is the game filming on the recruiting. So the thing about recruiting that some a lot of people tend to do is they treat recruiting like it's a one-off thing, right? They treat recruiting like it's something that scares them, you know, it's hiding behind a door and it scares them when they need to do it, and it's very reactive. And one of the things that, and you demonstrated it here, the idea of, like, actually recruiting in a very rhythmic way. So especially for you know, a lot of the positions that you're probably recruiting for around CEOs, you always are looking for good CEOs and need a pipeline of them, because if you don't need one this month, you might need one next month or the month after. So if you've identified somebody that is a good CEO candidate, having them in a pipeline, you know, worst thing they can say is, no, I don't want to come to work there. So having a structural meeting, having actually treating it like an initiative, and even having, like, hey, every third Friday is CEO recruiting day. We bring people in, we put them through the interview process, we put them through the Trego process. You know, we do all these things, we have some kind of assessment, but we're just bringing people in, as many people as we can find that are qualified, in this rhythmic way, and I've got people that are running that, and we're meeting about that particular as an initiative, is a very, I think, exciting and cool option. So
I also think, you know, when you look back in our history, what I see is that when we've recruited people at times where we really didn't feel pressure to hire, we've made really good decisions. And I feel when we get behind the eight ball and we rush to need people, we end up, I guess the difference is we end up trying to fit them in and pull them through the interview process, and when we don't need them, we try to weed them out. And that whole technique of trying to weed them out and they still make it through, I find we tend to end up with a better candidate when we try to guide them through because we need them. Oh, well, we can, yeah, he's not there, but that we can overcome that. We end up making sacrifices. And it comes back and bites us in the ass. It's kind of like you see sports teams when they're down by 14 and there's 2 minutes to go. They're just throwing Hail Marys and they're just slinging stuff, and it's very hit or miss, right? And so that's sometimes what we get is if we're not doing recruiting all the time, we tend to fall down and we're playing catch up and we start throwing our wild passes, and the success rate is much lower. As if we constantly do it throughout, and especially if we recruited as hard as we do when we need people, as we do when we don't need them, I think we would end up in a much better position. So I think that's the real learning for me is this year is once we do get staffed, we should keep the focus on recruiting and the intensity as if we still needed people.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think there's a lot of good learning there. So it's going to be the cool thing here is that cycle repeating itself. So you're making adjustments, you're game filming, you're trying something new. You're going to do the if you repeat that process and you know halfway through the year or even at the end of next year in the planning cycle and reflect on what worked, what didn't in the recruiting for this year, you're going to keep making it better every single time.
Yeah, and I think the thing we've recently talked about this initiative success formula, and when I game film back about the recruiting over the last two quarters, you know, you say the things that we did, they didn't really follow the initiative success formula. So for me, you know, not having the right person assigned, maybe I didn't have enough recruiting help when I was just relying on one person. I didn't have, you know, an actual structured meeting or, you know, where that attention of, look, we're really getting behind here is focused on. And so a lot of things that, you know, that we just, and then, you know, reaching out for help and saying, look, you know, what are we going to do? Where are we at? You know, it just, it never, the adjustment was never made in enough time. And so if you learn from that and say, look, when we have something that's very important, it's on the company 2x2, you know, we follow a certain formula, not only when we plan it out, but during, you know, when we're checking in on it week by week to make sure that we're still following that same formula and we're still, you know, then we don't have to worry about digging ourselves out of the hole. So all in all,
yeah,
really good game film, really good learning out of that, and, you know, and feel kind of actually positive about the learning and how we, you know, as a company, learn from that going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really liking it.
Jay, I've just realized that I butchered your council mode, so apologize for that, knocking us off course.
That's all right. That's all right.
So, if you want to continue that, I'll...
No, I mean, it's good. I like just having the dialogue. So, you know, and Peter, Ramon, Vance, if you guys have things that you're seeing or that, you know, would help Jeremy or help each other, guys, don't be afraid to, like, interrupt me or, you know, interrupt Steve and talk about your thoughts, too, on what's working for you in those particular situations.
Well,
because I think that's helpful for you guys to share learning amongst each other.
For me, guys, it's Vance. But for me, something me and Jeremy talked about yesterday, my focus for quarter four was, driving, IRTA and, you know, leveraging team management, growing the individuals, and, you know, in the sales department to, you know, be more assertive, being able to make some decisions. You know, that way, you know, my bandwidth or Jeremy's bandwidth, you know, we're not stretched thin, and that's kind of what we deal with. You know, I just coming back from, you know, having the baby, you know, I really sat down, my weekly focus, said, okay, what am I going to do this week? You know, to really execute on my, you know, my accomplishment of, implementing IRTA into the sales environment. And I said, you know, this week I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to observe. I'm going to see some decisions that are being made and see, you know, how things kind of play out. But I'm just going to be, you know, aware of what's going on. And there was one example, I think it was a Saturday, you know, somebody was like really trying to get a hold of Jeremy just to refund the customer money, like just to get the okay on it. And I was like, it's pointless. Like, you're wasting his time. Jeremy's probably with his family. You know, Jeremy could think it's an emergency. I got to take this phone call. You know, he could be eating dinner, whatever. But, you know, it was for the simpler thing when somebody could have just made that decision in our environment. And those are the things that, you know, a bunch of small things like that really, really, you know, tie up Jeremy and his time, and they don't allow him to, you know, to cut out the time for his weekly focusing sometimes. Or they may, you know, throw, situational things into, you know, his whatever he's focused on that day, and it causes Jeremy to maybe say, you know, hey, I have to, you know, look at these situations and determine which ones are more important to me whenever he shouldn't have to do that. So, IRTA is kind of big for me just because it grows our environment, one, and it takes out some things off of mine and Jeremy's plate that allows, you know, other people to grow, and it allows us to give time back into, you know, what we're focusing on within the company initiatives. And growing the environment. So that's a big thing for me. That's kind of what I'm doing this week. And me and Jeremy, you know, we plan on sitting down again Thursday. We're gonna really drive some of this stuff and try to put some, you know, some structured decision making into our environment. That way, you know, it's just not really repetitive and, you know, really small things that other people could take on.
Yeah. I mean, think about the leverage you guys are gonna get from that. You know, and also, how do you think the team's going to feel with more of that stuff in place?
I mean, I think it's going to be huge because, you know, one, we're going to, you know, show the confidence we have in somebody, you know, beneath us to make a decision. Of course, we know there's going to be some, you know, some situations that may surface where the wrong decision was made, but the benefit of that is that's growth. You know, if they're making a bad decision, then we get to go back. We get to, you know, gain some on those decisions, and we get to say, you know, hey, we could do it better. There's a better way to do this next time. But that's the growth in the environment. But realistically, you know, it gets somebody to where they can get to the point where they're, you know, using a structured decision making, and they're assertive with their decision making as well. So I think it's huge for our environment, especially with growing the next layer, of the guys in the company. I think it's really, really big for those guys, but it shows a lot of confidence that we have in them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it allows you to manage risk, appropriate level of risk, and it allows them, obviously for you guys to coach and grow. And but I think that, the other thing is just filtering out the things that, you or Jeremy or Peter or Ramon or Steve, that you guys don't actually have to get personally involved in, frees up your own bandwidth to go do more, which then creates even more leverage for the organization. So I think that's pretty sweet.
It works.
Vance, any questions on the January 13 stuff?
No, me and Jeremy just really planned on sitting down. We were supposed to do it last night at around 5, but Jeremy was out hunting for his phone, so that got pushed back. So we're planning on getting together Thursday and really sitting down and going through the 2x2 to make sure, we can execute that for the January 13th.
Okay.
Just a question. Awesome. Do you think that 5 o'clock is a good time to try and do that? It seems like that.
It was pushed back from 3 o'clock. It was funny because it was pushed back from 3 o'clock because me and Jeremy actually had a unique situation surface. And me and Jeremy,
good learning.
I'm sorry?
It's good learning. Yeah.
I would see if you guys could just get out for half an hour to lunch and just get away for a little bit because people are always going to be coming to you with emergencies. And
yeah, I think we'd be in the worst place possible too.
So just think about that.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. Anything else, Vance?
No, really just, staying disciplined with weekly focusing and, me and Jeremy, yesterday we had a conversation just about, our level of discipline and us getting together and, really going over these initiatives and, really helping each other out. And, we realized yesterday that, we're not holding each other accountable. And, we're not getting together as much as we should be or, in a structured format. That way we can execute these things. And, that was a huge takeaway for me yesterday. On a personal level, I feel like I've done a good job of that, with weekly focusing. But, on a team level with me and Jeremy, I feel like, I haven't done a good job of that, as far as holding him accountable, holding myself accountable to getting together and working all these things that are really, really important. So me and him, we need to sit down and we need to figure that out. That's something that was, it's really vital to our environment and, it's really important, to me and him to making sure that we execute. So we need to sit down, game film. That's a good suggestion, as far as, getting out of the environment because we stay within that environment and it stays, disruptive. Day in and day out, I don't think me and Jeremy ever meet without getting disrupted, because we're always within that environment. So that's, so simple, but it's eye-opening from an outside perspective. So I think that's something that I need to work on, along with Jeremy. But that's about it.
One thing you guys do is, just pull the shades, down and go into my office. I mean, if these doors are closed, typically people won't go in there, and you can use that.
We definitely, and that's,
but if you're meeting around here, they see you.
Yeah,
they're gonna.
We meet like in the room over there, and it can't not 5 minutes before there's somebody needing something. So
yeah, I just use my office and just pull the blinds down, and I bet you'll find you can have the space there. And then educate, back the first, quarter of educate your environment. Just let them know, hey, Vance and I are going to go be working. We're going to be out of pocket for 45 minutes. If the building's on fire, obviously come get us. But if not, can it wait 45 minutes? And just a simple educating them will help them. And then just go down there, and I think you'll be able to, you'll find. But if you just all of a sudden just pick up and move, and it's in an environment where there's a lot of traffic through it, and then they'll stop and ask you, and you respond to it, you were teaching them to interrupt you, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of how we teach people is through our actions, and so I think just creating those boundaries would be healthy. And then to Peter's point, probably the right time. You know, is there, when is having, like, Mike on the desk, I think, is probably a safe thing, you know, where they feel. Because one of the things, Vance, you mentioned IRTA, I want to just explore. My interpretation, Jay, we did a, Amy Ross did a really good in-depth survey with our, with 100% of our CEOs and did a survey and then met with each of them one-on-one for 30, 45 minutes. And one of the things that came out of that, at least my interpretation of the data, was they see Mike and Vance because of their success as a CEO, as well as their leadership as what we call it a pod leader, which is more of a coach. So they've done the job well, they've coached on the job well, and so it seemed to me that when they have a deal, they would prefer Mike and Vance to work on that deal, and then if Mike or Vance is not available, I get the sense that they may be holding those deals back because the other two finance guys, they feel, don't have as much confidence. So one of the things that we've got to do, I think, over the next few months is how do we build Tyler and Josh up to a level where, because Vance, for you to grow and for Mike to grow, you've got to be freed up. And if you're always the go-to person or Mike's the go-to person, you're going to really be caught in the weeds and working deals all the time. And that's going to slow up your development. So part of your development is going to be dictated is, can you get Tyler and Josh to have a perception of that they can do the deal as good as you and Mike? And what that'll do is you'll be freed up to have time to meet with Jeremy, to do your weekly focusing and others. And I get the sense that we're not there yet, but that the fact that you're working on IRTA and other areas, I think that would be a great opportunity to get Josh and Tyler more authority, and then how do you communicate that to the CEOs where you're not the guy that gets the deal done, but it's Tyler and Josh, and you're recognizing Tyler and Josh for, you know, building their the perception of those folks.
That's great. That's great. I mean, that's great insight. I think that's huge. That's something that Jeremy recommended was how do we get, you know, these guys up and going to that level. And I think that's a focal point for us. We're going to focus in that area. You know, right now it's just an awareness piece. We're aware of what we want to do. It's about trying to figure out how we're going to structure this and, you know, execute to, you know, get the perception where we need it to be. But that's great insight, Steve. We're going to work on that.
Awesome. Who wants to go next?
It's Ramon.
Let me wake up Ramon. Hold on.
Yeah. Somebody smack Ramon.
You know, I'm very clear about where we're going for January 13th, being prepared with our Q1 2x2, aligning it to the company goals and getting those things, the actions detailed out. So no issues there. Just going to be working on a plan to build it up and be as crisp as possible. As far as my takeaways for Q4, like Jeremy, I'm working on my weekly focusing and daily planning. And I have to say that I've seen some successes in it. noted by my wife, actually. Some opportunities. The success is that she says that she doesn't know what's happened to me over the last few weeks, but I'm coming home a lot less stressed, and I'm getting home earlier. And she says, I don't know what you've been doing lately, but you might need to keep that up. And then when she gives me, you know, appointments or tasks to do at home, be there for this concert, be there for that, my first response to her is, let me put that in my calendar. Let me plan that out. Let me see if I got a slot for that. And it's taking her back because she says, well, hell, Jeff must have told you to do it. Because I've been telling you to do it for years. So, I said, kind of, sort. I said, this is just something I'm trying to make a conscious effort to improve on. And actually, it's been working for me. So that's the noted success, is that I guess it's bleeding home for me, and that I'm getting more aligned there as well. I will say that since I've been trying to clean up and clean out things that are distractions for me, like, you know, one of the biggest tasks Jeff had given me was get my damn email cleaned out, because I save everything. And so I've been actioning my email. And that's actually been one of the biggest things that I see value in. Just delete, delete, delete. It has nothing to do with me. Delete. I don't know why they're sending me this crap. Delete. Trash it. And work that out every day. And just to come back in and just see less, it's mentally comforting, because I don't feel like I have as much on my plate when I get those things that don't belong to me away from me. And so doing that has definitely helped, and just putting things in folders where they need to go. If it's something that I need to recall, and once it's done, getting rid of it, it's been used for me. One of the other things is I wrote down is, what I found success, so far is, you know, setting up, organizing myself, on what I want to look at, what I want to focus on, and what I know I need to accomplish, has been good for me over the last few weeks. I've seen good success in that, just retreat preparation. Like I was telling you at Sagan, I was less stressed about the preparation for this retreat than going into any of the previous retreats. I felt more prepared. And I can only think that, you know, the weekly focusing and the structured meetings and, you know, the communications that Jeremy and I have set me up for that. Environment is huge. I realize now that if I'm not in the right place, I'm not capable of doing what I set out to do because of the distractions. And you know, like something that Steve said, that, you know, people learn by how we set them up in terms of our responses or actions. And that's huge. Because I will allow someone to take me right off my rhythm just to go answer the silliest question. And so that leads me into the next bullet point of empowerment in IRTA. How I realize that that's super important in terms of being able to focus properly and plan accordingly, because if we don't teach our environment, one, that we're in a space where we need to plan or do what we need to do for the business, and if we're going to get pulled out and give them the ability to make the decisions that they need to make and start challenging more. So IRTA was my second thing that I said that I wanted to definitely establish for my department, because as we continue to increase capacity, those decision makers on every level are going to have to be making those decisions, because I can't answer them all, and I can't you know, do it all, and I realize that. And so that's you know, my discoveries that I've come. Now my admitted failure opportunity has been, even though I've done a lot of the things to allow myself to be successful and stay on pace what I said I'm going to do, I did allow myself to get knocked off a couple times, and I know I realize it's, you know, putting in the reps and getting the routine established, but man, I was up here to how long was I up here one night? During, like 11:15, just finishing what I said I would do personally, because I said even though I set out the day to accomplish certain things on my task list and check them off, and I said I'm not leaving until I get my things checked off, I allowed myself to get taken out of the fold so much that I didn't get my things done. And so I made a decision that I wasn't going to cheat myself and I wasn't going to close the books and come back at it. I said I got to get it checked off. But I see the impact of allowing myself to be pulled out. And that was a very exhausting couple of days for me, because it happened not once but twice. So that was my failure opportunity. So that's what I got, man.
Awesome. All I heard was your wife's happy with you, so.
Yeah, man.
I wasn't sure. All she matters. Say she wants you to stop coming home early? Is that what I heard? Like, whatever you're doing.
I think, I want to say that too. I better put it in the calendar.
No, but I mean, lots of great things, lots of integration, lots of putting different pieces together, and using all of these things kind of in concert with each other, you know, to make, you know, work better, life better, you know. Again, this is, you know, productivity, this is leverage, this is everything, so. Really, really excited. I appreciate all the sharing, Ramon.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring.
Hey,
yeah. Yep.
Very good.
I think it's Peter's turn.
Yeah. I made a little bit of progress on my personal 2x2. Met with Jeff last Monday. Got some clarity on direction I'm going to go for next year. Got some ideas from him, which sparked some additional ideas that I had. So I'm going to be making an updated personal 2x2 and get started on my roadmap, and probably have that prepared by this Friday. I've already had a lot of ideas written down, so just kind of have to put that together. It's really helped me get really excited for the year, because I know that when I have very specific tasks and goals, I'm very efficient and effective. So when I don't, my brain just kind of scatters. So it's very comforting knowing that I have, you know, some plans in place that are going to keep me very focused for this upcoming year. And it's nice to just look out over the course of the year and see that, you know, as we grow, there's going to be multiple opportunities for me to grow personally and within the company as well. So making some progress there. Should have close to a finalized 2x2. Just need to work a little bit closer with Jeff, because part of it will be, at some point, we're going to be bringing in an additional source to help with merchandising and launching. So part of it's going to be with coaching. So I'm going to be drawing up that plan and what that looks like, and just have to get a little bit of clarity from Jeff on what kind of time frame we're looking at. But really feel good about the progress that's being made, and we'll definitely be ready with the complete 2x2 and roadmap, you know, ready to start the new year.
Awesome. So what do you think of all that? What's your biggest challenge?
I mean, the biggest challenge is holding myself accountable, really. You know, I've set out to do a lot of different things that I haven't been able to accomplish. And really the thing that's held me back previously is not setting really clear roadmap, but, you know, setting clear goals and objectives for myself and how to accomplish that. So I believe with this exercise, working very closely with Jeff, and having very clear goals and and objectives, I think is going to keep me on track to hit everything. I'm going to know exactly what I need to do, when I need to do it, and when I have those clear goals, there's nothing that is going to get in my way. The only thing that stopped me before is not taking the time and creating the space to be clear about what I want to accomplish. So I feel much better about how we're going to approach that this year. Just because with all the learning, I have a much different mindset. I understand that things aren't just going to, you know, accomplish themselves. You have to really have a very clear plan. And I've seen in situations where I have clear plans, I've done well. And on tasks that I don't have clear plans, I don't get accomplished. So it's very simple. I see that. And, you know, so I believe that the progress is being made there to have a very big 2016 for myself as well as the company.
Awesome. Steve, I guess you're our last person to share.
Yeah, couple things that just on reflection just come to mind. One is, I think you may recall a post I sent out about the video about Rose Bush, and it just is such a good reminder of our work and also our lives. The concept was that the Rose Bush produces way more rosebuds than it can maintain, and if you don't prune it, it will die because it'll try to take care of everything and get overwhelmed because there's rose bushes can't grow out, they can't grow up, so these buds just take over, and so you constantly have to be pruning it, and it really made me think about where am I not pruning in my work life, and what are the things, and you're just hearing Ramon speak about all the things he had to accomplish and stayed here till 11 o'clock, it's those are the effects, I think, of not pruning, and it's really about us getting extreme clarity on what we're going to do and what we're not going to do and put that on the 2x2 and say, you know, I can't let these other, I've got to prune out something in our day. And it also works in the personal life as well. So I'm not going to allow these things to creep in. So I think that's where my attention is right now is what are the things that I'm going to constantly prune and make aware that these are, might seem urgent, but they're not really important, and don't spend a lot of energy there. So that's one area. When it comes to the first quarter, I think there's three key things that I have a big focus on. One is, Jay, what you kind of brought up in the retreat was this concept of sales support. You described your life in the manufacturing world where once something was produced, there was a support mechanism. And I think Ramon, Jeremy, and Jeff and I are exploring that concept, knowing that, especially with the first quarter, there's going to be a significant jump in sales as projected. And we don't have the staff, sales staff, to maintain all that, so how do we support them? And so we're just trying to figure out how do we create a support structure that frees the CEOs up to really focus on the customer and remove some of the friction of running back and forth, picking cars up at the storage lot, looking for keys, getting the car ready for delivery, but also creating support in recon and reducing some of that friction of just checking in cars, running them around to the various dealers for recall work. So that's one area. The other one is, you know, we've got to make a significant adjustment to the CEO pay plan next year and how to phase that in where it's, you know, the pay plan is really based on an outdated model where it was the pay plan that they're on was designed for a very high margin, customized, personalized experience, and now, you know, we have cut pricing, scaled up inventory, become a discount retailer, and we've lagged that area because we wanted the model to take off faster, so there wasn't a void in their income. But the challenge is because we've lagged so much, these guys have shot up, their earnings have climbed higher because of that, and so we have to back that down. So that's a real challenge. And then the third area, is the inventory levels. We've got to find ways to get inventory levels up because our strategy right now of buy and replace is not going to get inventories up quick enough. I mean, it's slowly growing, but we're still lagging behind on our numbers, and it's a number that we probably haven't put enough focus on. We tend to look at the sales and other KPIs, but the inventory levels are a leading indicator, and so we've got to figure out how do we grow inventory up more. So those are the three areas that I'm working on and going to be working with each of the departments and figuring how do we make improvements in those areas in Q1.
Yeah. Okay. With those things, what might have you learned in 15 that could be something you would be doing different in 16 to ensure that those things are successful?
Yeah, good question. I think the biggest learning for me, it reminds me of a real good lesson I learned from Jim Collins' book, Great by Choice, when he talks about productive paranoia, and how the book was based on companies that outperform their direct competitors by 10 times or more, and what they did differently. And I think one of the things that was pointed out that I really applied to my learning in 2015 was this, how do you make decisions in these areas? And there was, what he found was the data showed that when you make quick decisions and react quickly to a marketplace, that does not guarantee you success. What we have to look at is there's a question that he suggested that I'm constantly asking myself, and this is the learning for me, is at what point does the risk level start to change for the decision? And as long as the risk level of that decision doesn't change much, take your time. But once that risk level changes, then you have to make the decision. So the idea is to zoom out, see what's on the horizon, and then zoom back in and say, okay, where does the risk level start to change? And I've got to have my decision made by that time, right? And So when take, for example, how do I apply that to the CEO pay plan, right? What I look at is that the risk level for that when I zoom out is probably somewhere around February, because once we get into February, the sales will be so high that it's going to be extremely difficult to make a change, because it will be such a significant hit because the income earnings for that month will be so inflated. So to me is the risk level starts to change somewhere around February 1, late January. So I'd like to get something done by the end of the year, and working with, and that's our goal, but I don't want to force it to make a quick decision if we feel that we haven't got the proper feedback from the CEOs, we haven't really tested the concept. So that's kind of the real learning is, when do you have to make the decisions? Where we've gotten ourselves into trouble is we feel that there's pressure in an area, and we've got to make that decision, and we got to make it quick so we can relieve the pressure that we're feeling in that area. And oftentimes we make the wrong decision because we jump too quickly. And I think just understanding that whole concept of when does the risk level change is very helpful for me.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. I think that's, you know, there's a lot there. I think that idea of we tend to overreact a little bit and misassess risk too is important. You
yep.
know,
and you don't get the options. You don't get all the options on the table.
Yeah, yeah. You want to preserve optionality when possible too, right? Okay. So you don't want to make a decision that limits you from making a different decision at some other point in the future.
That's right. Yeah, and it's so I think having that time to really look at all the different options, explore all the data, and then make the adjustments.
Yep. Awesome. Well, I think we're at our time, guys. I want to be aware of that. So I appreciate the sharing. I think there's a lot of good stuff today. I was really impressed with what you guys are working on. Just a couple of logistics notes. So with the holiday, we don't have a call for the next 2 weeks. So our next time we're together is on the 6th. So, and then that next week, the 13th, will be the half day. So at your place. If you guys need anything, want any feedback on the stuff that you're working on for Q1, I'll be reaching out to you guys, probably just checking in as well. But don't hesitate to ask. Don't hesitate to email me and say, hey, this is stuff I'm working on. As you're working on it, let me give you some real-time feedback. So that offer's out there.
Okay, I'm going to be reaching out to you for a couple of things. One, to get some practice cycles on weekly focus, and then also to after we need a little help on the Q1 2x2.
Okay, cool.
Maybe we can use for you guys are up for next Wednesday. We can work on our own. Maybe use that as to kind of bring our first draft of the 2x2, or just questions. If you don't have the first draft ready, just
that's good. Yeah, that time.
So why don't we just keep that slot at 8:30 to 9:30, and just we'll work on our 2x2 prep with that for those. So. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Jay. All
right, guys. We'll see y'all later. Dan.
All right, guys.
All
right. Dan. What's up?
What's your phone number?
What's up?
I have my phone. What's your phone number?
469-386-6487. But don't call me.
I'll call you in a minute.
Don't.